Oh, yes, brother, man. We are live. How's it going, Rick?
It's going, man. Going to be another great show.
Oh, man. So good to be back on YouTube and Facebook. Hey, guys, if you're watching us right now live on YouTube and Facebook, go ahead and hit those subscribes, hammer those like buttons, leave a comment, do anything you can to interact with the page. We got a great show today. Today is March 22nd, 2021. And why don't you go ahead and let everybody know what we got going on today, Rick?
Yeah, buddy. So our guest today is Jean-Claude LeBlanc. So JC is, he started up the American Tactical Canine Association, which he's going to talk about and kind of tell you about the fantastic seminar that's going on end of September, beginning of October. So the thing with that is he's pretty much brought a who's who within the canine world. That's a hands-on seminar versus kind of your classic, just sitting a, banquet hall or whatever, just listen to a lecture. So it'll be hands-on for the guys there. He also has Direct Action Canine. And then, oh, by the way, we were teammates years ago in the Army. So overall, just a fantastic American. JC, appreciate your service, brother, and welcome to the show, man.
Welcome, brother.
Thanks a lot, guys. Great for having me on, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, appreciate you joining the show today, man, and making sure that it's okay. We got a little bit of delay. But really appreciate your service, and thank you, and thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot, brother. Appreciate it, man.
All right, buddy.
All right, so like Rick was saying, man, we, Rick and I go way back. We were canine handlers for a while together, and yeah, man, so it's been a while, so glad to have you guys broadcasting this stuff for us and helping promote the event. So kind of the background on the American Tactical Canine Association was, you know, Rick, you and I, we attended all sorts of different venues while we were handlers. You know, we were fortunate enough to have probably the best trainers in the nation within our, on our teams there. And we were also fortunate to have a budget to where we can go out and just train with anybody across the nation. So if we found value in the trainers that, that we saw out there in the country, we just went ahead, hired them, brought them in, or went to them and trained with them. And we got a lot of great experience and knowledge from all these guys. One of the things we used to do, as you remember, is we used to have these things called the Soft Canine Symposium, where we brought in all the best trainers from around the nation and all the who's who of canine handlers to attend these things. So all your soft handlers from every background in the military, all your high-end law enforcement teams, you know, so sister services from our foreign partners as well. So we used to have this thing, and, you know, I figured why not have something like that for law enforcement? I know that a lot of the guys that we brought in were very expensive. And not every department has the funding to be able to get that sort of level of training. So I wanted to be able to bring that level, that world-class training, to the lowest levels of law enforcement and military and on up. So that's kind of where the idea came from. So we went ahead and started, we developed the organization. It's a nonprofit organization, and the reason we did that was to try to solicit funds and donations from both private and corporate donors so we can go ahead and host this conference at a very affordable rate for these handlers, which is something, especially nowadays with the whole defund the police and all that going on. You know, canine's kind of an afterthought when it comes to budget anyways, and now you've got all this additional hardships on their budgets as well. So it's just, man, it makes it really hard for them to go out and get quality training. So I went ahead, reached out to all the same guys that we used to turn to when we were on the teams, man, you know, and some of them are probably doing it out of the good grace of their heart, you know, and just trying to help a brother out. And, you know, mm-hmm. others really see the value in what we're trying to do here. And they were all like, hell yeah, I want to be a part of that, because they can kind of see where we're going to go with this one. And we really think this is going to kind of change the culture of the canine world. So we're really looking forward to this. So some of the guys that we brought in, man, we've got Armin Winkler. He's coming in. Mm-hmm. We've got.
So just tell
Rick's coming in.
Go ahead. I am. Just give people a quick little, you know, like some people might not have, all right, go, hey, who's this Armin Winkler guy? What's he? I mean, just a little bit, you know, either you can inject or I can inject, because here's the beauty with Armin, right? Probably one of the best decoys out there. And Armin's a no BS dude. If he sits there and tells you, hey, your dog, again, his European background, he's going to tell you like it is. He's either going to tell you your dog's in it to win it, or he's going to tell you, yeah, this dog don't hunt. And yeah, super good one on that one. But not to cut off you, you know, stealing your thunder there, but just, you know, get a little more into the weeds some, with the exception of that Warhawk tactical guy. I mean, people already know who that cat is.
So yeah, Armin, this time he's not teaching a decoy class. Okay. Armin is going to talk about, you know, the new age canine and how you incorporate them into the tactical teams. Mm-hmm. Like you said, yeah, Armin is absolutely fantastic decoy. He's great at reading dogs and building those dogs to get them to the level that we want them to be at to do our jobs. But Armin brings so much more to the table than just decoy work. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Armin has worked with all the top tiers within the nation, both military and law enforcement. You know, he's worked Army and our Navy counterparts as well. FBI, their dogs, and all your local state and federal agencies as well. Like he's really a go-to guy for everything when it comes to canine. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've got Armin coming in. Then we've got Franco Angelini coming in as well, the canine bite doctor. He's going to go ahead and give us a good professional decoy class. And mm-hmm. Franco is great at teaching guys how to be professional decoys, which is going to help their organizations and help build mm-hmm. their dogs for their training curriculum. We've also got Mark Plunsk. He's running the police canine consulting, and Mark is going to be teaching the Armin Leggin systems, which is basically it's a more realistic training apparatus when it comes to arm and leg. It's basically your rubber arms and legs, mm-hmm. To where it gives that dog just a more realistic sensation when it comes to biting, and it tries to get rid of that equipment fixation that a lot of the dogs have. So yeah, Mark's going to be teaching that. You know, Mark's another guy that's super well versed in his mm-hmm. background. You know, he comes from South Florida. He spent years down there as a handler and trainer, and you know, I was fortunate enough to have Mark as my trainer when I was in. So hey, you know, I'm really looking forward to him coming down there. We've also got Paul Ludwig from Iron Dog Canine. He's going to come in, do a lot of scenario based training. You know, the cool thing about Paul is
we're losing a little bit, JC.
Yeah, I think we might have lost him, Rick. Let's see if we can
get. Yeah, we'll give him a second here to
reconnect.
Give him a second here to power on. So basically Jeremy was asking, and again, guys, versus me typing, I'll just kind of hit my delete button. So basically a decoy, Jeremy, is actually what the dog is going to go bite on. So what he's talking about as far as Mark goes. So typically you've seen the big Michelin man suits, or just the bite suits. That's typically what the dog's used to. The problem is dogs become, you know, like JC was talking about, equipment dependent. So what Mark's trying to do with this realistic kind of rubber arm, rubber leg is introduce that so that now the dogs aren't relying on equipment, because we've seen in the past where now the dog is so used to the equipment and it's not there. Now they don't know what to do. So
right.
bunch of different ways to skin the cat. But really the rubber arm, rubber leg is, to me, it's a game changer, because what you're doing is it's not like you're just sending the dog in and he's going straight for it. Typically there's something where he can see it, not see it, maybe sees the decoy. Then all of a sudden he tucks away and boom, there's the arm of the leg kind of sticking out and, you know, he's going for it. So, I see JC kind of down in there in the window, but not sure if he's
We'll see back if we can get him back on. Looks like we,
there we go.
Have audio. Yep. We got you back, brother. Don't worry about that. We deal with that all the time.
Sometimes Mark goes out.
I've had power outages and I disappeared for like 15 minutes. And Rick just ran with the show. Him and who was that? Was that Clint on with us that one day?
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One can of our other guests. Brother? So I see a frozen screen.
Uh-huh. We'll give him another minute.
Yeah.
But I think it's such a great idea, the American Tactical Canine Association that JC's got going on. I think it's a great idea to bring that quality of training to, like you said, all levels of law enforcement. And when he means levels, he's not talking about skill level. He's talking about municipality size, federal, local, state, and all that stuff. There's a lot of great guys that are starving and need the training. And man, what a great tool that's going to be.
Yeah. And the beauty is, you know, the way I understand it, and I don't want to speak for JC, but basically, you know, you're looking at 5 days of training. And within that 5 days, you know, the handler is going to have kind of pick and choose what curriculum he's looking for. So it's not like, hey, you're stuck here. It's like, you know, rank your top, whatever rating, excuse me. And then what these guys are going to do is break it down in a way that tries to get the handler, you know, the maximum amount of training for what he's looking for.
Yeah.
You know, so on that, so they're having a storm there now. So we'll see if he can't, you want to see if he just can't dial in on just straight audio? Would that maybe be easier? I know we're going to lose a little video.
Yeah. Whatever he can try, we'll go ahead and give it a shot. But
yeah, we'll see if we can't just get him straight audio.
He can just use the same link and just use audio. It's very interesting that, I mean, that's a good amount of training, and I'm guessing that the handlers and their canine partners will be able to either do certain parts of it, you know, maybe something that they're lacking in, or they'll be able to attend all of them, correct?
Yeah, well, they can't. I don't think they can attend all, because I think he's got more. There's more than just the 5 days or just the five. There's not just five instructors, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so they could really cater to what their needs are and be very specific on what type of training they're going to attend.
In a perfect world, you know, barring they sit there and register early, kind of get those wish lists in and get the word in, hopefully they should be able to get the classes they want.
Right.
But, you know, like JC was saying, man, it's kind of the who's who of the dog world. So he kind of reached into the Rolodex. Here's the beauty, right? The things we used to do before kind of circled back with everybody, hit these guys up and, you know, now form this association. It's like, boom, you know, you've got a one-stop shop for a week just to get some killer training you know,
what hopefully get idea.
The, yeah. JC, you got us, buddy? We see his mug, just no.
Yeah. He's having some weather over there. So maybe he's having some difficulty. So
maybe try this, brother. Just try going audio only versus the video. And then hopefully, Jeremy, that explained, did you understand the whole decoy thing as far as that piece goes?
So anyway, guys, if you're going to be listening to this on the audio show, this will be tomorrow. So you'll be listening on a Tuesday. If you're on Apple, Spotify, or if you're on iHeartRadio, Amazon, Audible, or Amazon Music, you can go ahead and do a search for On the Range Podcast. We should pick up there and go ahead and click. It's absolutely free. Make sure that you go ahead and leave a comment, like, give us a rating, and interact with all of those platforms as much as you can so we can boost this algorithm and get this exposed to more people. They base all that on rankings. And the more that you guys do that and help us out, the more reach we're going to have. So just keep working on it and interact with those pages. And don't forget to check out our Patreon page. Our Patreon page is patreon.com/onTheRange podcast. A lot of good training in there. A lot of ways to interact with the page as well. JC, let us know if you can hear us, brother. And then well, hopefully we can beat this algorithm and give us some boost.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the biggest thing we're trying to do is how do we get, you know, the word out there to as many people. And then same thing. Yeah. So he can't hear us.
Okay.
But really guys, you know, that you got friends, you got family, you got whatever that you guys know, they're kind of loyal listeners, the basis that we cover, you know, you kind of know the guests that we bring on, just spread the word, you know, send them a link. Cause I'm pretty sure you can send them a link to the podcast and then just go, hey, check this out. Or if there's an episode that resonates with you, you know, shoot them a note and go, hey, check this out. Thought you might like it.
Yeah.
Because the beauty is, you know, I know for me, not so much, I guess Jeremy's having technical difficulties there as well.
Okay.
I know for me, not so much in my local goings, but you know, when I'm sitting there going to make a road trip, let's say, for example, if I was heading to Ohio to do some training, you know, you kind of stack up your podcast deck. Granted, all I play is On the Range podcast, but you just let let those episodes go, and why not? So,
JC, can you hear us?
All right, got you now. Sorry about that, guys. Man,
no
weather here.
Nah, man.
All good, buddy. We'll continue to work through it.
Yeah, buddy.
So, I kind of hit a little bit what Mark had going on. You know, there's something about South Florida, man, that pulls some pretty good trainers out. So, but yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Okay, so another guy we got is Paul Ludwig from Iron Dog Canine. He's going to go ahead and do a lot of kind of scenario based training and do some stuff like troubleshooting kind of stuff and expose guys to different things that they probably never thought of in their training. And a lot of guys are like, ah, man, that'll never, ever happen. Well, turns out sure enough, it does. And then because you never trained for it, you're not prepared for it. So that's something that Paul's bringing, you know, based on his experiences. You know, he was a DC Metro cop for a long time. And like I said, he had a couple of situations that were really life threatening and because his dog wasn't prepared. So now he brings that training and his experiences to all the guys as well. Then we've got our good friend, Pat Nolan. Pat's worked with us for a really long time, and man, Pat has helped us out in the detection realm. He has given us the capability to direct our dogs off lead, kind of like the hunting dogs, man, just giving those dogs directionals and teaching us how to better detect explosives. So that's a skill set that, man, you know, it's one thing to be on an end of a leash looking for some drugs. It's a completely different thing when it comes to looking for bombs. And I'll be honest, I don't want to be at the end of a 15 or a 30 footer when it comes to finding bombs, you know? So yeah, man. And I was fortunate enough to work a single purpose dog down range, utilizing everything that Pat had taught us. And man, you know, like I can't thank Pat enough for the skill sets that he gave to us. And I'm really excited for him to be able to do the same for all these other explosive dog handlers as well. Then another person we got coming out is Ashley Horner. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, buddy, I just want to jump in real quick. So one thing, ahead, you know, especially on Pat, yeah, it's one thing I want to hit on Pat, right? So a lot of guys, you know, here's the thing. If people look at Pat, primarily they know him for bird dog stuff, you know, and a lot of people would go, well, why do I need to get, you know, do that? And that's a prime example that you brought up. And I just want to harp that point a little more, you know, because people don't always look at, they're always looking at that tactical application or how can I do this? And dude, take everything you can get and use whatever you can so that dog will be the best ability. So I just want to put that plug in for Pat. And that was one of the things we quickly learned with him. So I'm sorry, go ahead, talk about Ashley.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so Ashley, she's a big fitness freak, man. So Ashley is going to go ahead and we talked to Ashley a little bit and we talked to her about, hey, you know, when it comes to dog handling, there are a lot of things that you need to be capable of doing physically that you typically don't need to train, you know, for doing your normal cop or military job. when it comes to handling, like you work on muscles that you didn't even realize you needed, you know, lifting dogs up over walls, hoisting them by their leash, you know, like it really is a physically demanding job. And unfortunately, a lot of guys don't know how to incorporate the proper exercise routines to make them better at performing their job physically. So we got with Ashley, and Ashley is going to develop a handler specific conditioning course that guys can attend every morning and afternoon during the conference. And I'm looking forward to guys going out there, because she's a beast and she is going to crush some guys and hurt some egos, and it's going to be great. Then we've got VTG coming out as well, who's a veterinary tactical group. And Janice Baker, she is a veterinarian, and she used to work for our counterparts in the Navy. And she was a vet with them for a really long time. And man, like, Janice has gathered so much data and developed so many techniques for treating injured canines on the battlefield. And I can't even put a number to the amount of canines that the knowledge that she's imparted with us has saved. And she has continued to do so for handlers across the country now that she started up VTG. She has really personally saved a lot of dogs by sharing that information. And, you know, it's not just the trauma specific stuff that everyone thinks of. It's also your everyday kind of stuff, like bloat and heat exhaustion and stuff like that. Like, she's going to teach you how to treat all the different possible injuries that you can encounter as a handler. Then you've also got Justin Rigney. Justin, he's going to be teaching a great e-collar course. He's another one of those guys, just very well-rounded in everything that he does. But he's going to share like proper utilization of an e-collar. And Rick, you know as well as I do, man, that an e-collar utilized incorrectly can absolutely be detrimental to a dog.
Yep.
So Justin's going to go ahead and teach us how to properly incorporate that, not just as like a lot of guys use them, like the brakes, like, hey, no, I don't want you to do that, man. But you know what? There's a lot of ways that you can utilize that e-collar to get more performance out of your dog. And so Justin's going to go ahead and show us that. Then, of course, we got you coming out, Rick, and everyone's really excited for that. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. No, I just want to interject on the e-collar part, right? Because I think this is a huge part. You know, for all the guys out there listening, you know, watching, whatever the case may be, everyone thinks the e-collar is a correction tool or a shaping tool or something like that. And yes, that's primarily its focus. But here's the deal. You have to think outside the box when it comes to the e-collar. So I know for me, one of the things I used my e-collar for, it was for both Marco and Duco, it was their silent recalls. So the last thing I want to do, and you know this, brother, you're out in the palm grove somewhere hunting some dude down. You know, that dog has taken that bite of terrain. You want to move up to him. I can't go, hey, man, come here, buddy. And then next, you know, gunfire's erupting. You know, it's like, how do I get that dog back to me? And you're not sitting there smacking them on a high six on your Tritronics. A simple, you know, low, medium one on a steady bump. You know, he's going to come back to somewhere in the pack. And it's like, all right, buddy, let's get your reset, move up to that point, relaunch you. And dude, people are absolutely amazed when I tell them that. They're like, you can do that? I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? So I just think it's important, especially with the e-collar, because like you said, I've seen too many dogs messed up from it. I've seen too many guys try to run these things at high six and go, my dog's not doing anything. Then you're like, now what are you going to do? When that dog didn't need a high six, they just didn't know how to work the collar. Yeah. So super, super important on that one. But go ahead. Let's talk about this Warhawk Tactical guy, since you're going to hit on him.
Yeah, man. So we got you coming in, man. And you know what?
Like, yeah,
I've already heard a lot of guys that are excited to attend your course in particular, man. You know, it's with not just with marksmanship, but it seems that commonplace in canine training is, man, it's all about the dog. You know, all we focus on is dog training, whether it's detection or bite development or tracking or whatever the case may be. And very seldom do we focus on training the canine team as a whole. all right, mm-hmm. or the handler specific task. And one of them is, yeah, we might get on the range and do a little gunfire neutralization, but it's rare that you see a lot of officers work actual marksmanship while they have a canine on them. You know, man, pistol shooting is not easy, right? And then you got a dog at the end of a 6 foot and you're trying to shoot one-handed, you know, mm-hmm. and that just makes it even more difficult. And now let's throw in, oh, hey, by the way, I'm getting shot at the same time. So, man, mm-hmm. now that difficulty level has skyrocketed. And man, so now we got you coming in to teach that advanced pistol marksmanship, shooting that one-handed, inducing a lot of stress. And you know what? Let me just let you go ahead and give a little bit on what you plan on teaching there, Rick, because mm-hmm. yeah, a lot of guys are super excited, and you can better describe it than I can, man.
Yeah, so really, you know, everything that Warhawk Tactical does is a building block methodology. So, you know, a lot of guys think, all right, cool, we're going to come out of the gates, we're going to do all this stuff. Man, you know what? First thing we're going to do is just get the dogs out there. And because how many guys have actually done anything with their firearm with the dog? And I'm not even talking shooting bullets. I'm talking merely draw the pistol out of the holster. Because I've seen some guys that were quote unquote experts or the dogs were trained. And that mere action and that dog seeing that gun because of whatever prior training they had, next thing you know, turns on the handler. Mm-hmm. So let's work that out yep. to make sure that's good before we even progress into looking at, you know, the officer's marksmanship ability. So we're going to work on that a little bit. You know, obviously we're going to start at a muzzled level because that puts, you know, control into us. You know, once we feel comfortable with that, you know, muzzles come off. Okay, cool. But again, it's working things in sections. So then, you know, we'll put the dogs up. We'll give the guys a chance to work on their marksmanship a little bit. Pull the dogs out, kind of, we'll probably work like a split crew type deal where, hey, kind of bring your dogs out where you're giving them a little bit of being neutral to canine or neutral to gunfire while they're working around the line. And we'll talk about the specifics on that because it's not bringing them straight up to the line as this line shoots. That's a no bueno. So the dogs will be back, you know, a ways and they'll slowly encroach as the handler feels, hey, this dog can take whatever they're doing. Kind of flip-flop that, put the dogs up, some more marksmanship training. And then really my plan is, and again, it's a plan. It doesn't mean that every dog will be able to execute. But if we're at the point, you know, we'll actually get the officer out there shooting with his dog prior to. So the thing is, guys, I've got no dramas talking to any of the officers that's looking to attend. You know, hit me up via email, DM, preferably on Instagram. Don't do Facebook because I'm not very good on my Facebook page. But if you have questions about how to make your dog neutral to gunfire prior to, that would be a huge benefit. Because then that's just going to be able to speed up your training. But I do believe, JC, don't you have somebody that's doing neutral to gunfire?
Yeah, absolutely, man. That was the next one on the list. So we've got Mike yep. Pennington from Storm Dog Tactical.
That's right.
Mike yep. does a really good job of doing that, working that gunfire neutralization for dogs. We, you know, like Mike was another guy that, you know, I happened to see him at a conference up in Ohio, you know, went into that and watched how he was doing things and was like, you know what, that's someone that I want to try. So we brought him down to work and man, you mm-hmm. know, like not only was he great with the gunfire neutralization, but he also has a way of teaching like control while that dog's in drive. And mm-hmm. he, man, you remember my dog Jinko there, Rick. He was a handful of times, man.
Love that guy.
Like, yeah. So, anyways, man, we you know, Mike was able to teach me a lot of stuff that not only had to do with gunfire neutralization, but just being able to have that control over my dog when that dog was really in drive. And man, that stuff was, you know, just invaluable when it came to doing my job, man. And yeah, so he's another one, man. So his course will tie in very nicely with yours as well. And yeah, he's just another guy that's really well versed when it comes to dog training. And then
hey, JC,
and we got my company Direct Act. Yeah, go ahead, man.
Hey, sorry to interrupt you. I just one question. You know, Rick and I do, you know, some LEO trainings throughout the country, and And sometimes we're required, you know, despite of how great we think the program is, we're required to actually reach out to the municipality itself. And I guess you could say sell it, that kind of thing. I guess my question is, what kind of reaction are you getting with the departments themselves? Are they all for it? Is it a, are you running into budgetary problems? Are you able to do any kind of workaround or anything like that? Because we've actually had to reach out and call chiefs, assistant chiefs, and talk to them directly just to get their guys to come out to the training. And that was free.
Yeah. So, well, what we got is, like we said initially, man, we started a nonprofit to make this as affordable as we can for guys. And that's, again, I understand the dilemmas that a lot of cops face when it comes to budget stuff. And, you know, yeah, man, a lot of SWAT teams are really well funded. But again, when it comes to the canine teams, not as well funded. So with doing so, what we've done is we've made it to where the conference is only $500. Now, that in itself is a steal. But not only do you get all that great training for $500, but you're also, that also covers your lodging and meals for the entire week. And
that's, man, amazing.
Like you can't beat that. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with it. We're hosting the conference. It's actually we're doing this in conjunction with the Cincinnati PD. Their canine section is helping host this event with us, and we're doing it at the Muscatatuck Urban Training Center in Indiana, which isn't very far from Cincinnati. But the nice thing about Muscatatuck is, man, it is centrally located to a lot of, you know, like it's just south of Indianapolis, just west of Cincinnati, a little north of Kentucky. You know, like you've got a lot of big metropolitan cities in every cardinal direction around Muscatatuck. And man, when it comes to a venue, you can't beat this place. Like it's a National Guard facility, but man, they really put some effort into this. And when it comes to environmentals, which is a huge portion of canine training, man, they've got every type of venue that you can think of for realism. And that's gonna bring a lot of realism to our training. But yeah, so with that low price tag, and we tried to make it more appealing for departments by covering lodging and meals, because you know how it is, like, oh, $500, but then you got to drive your car there and it's running 12 hours a day. So you're paying for gas, you're paying another $1,000 for a hotel plus per diem for all your meals and stuff. And that $500 price tag just went to like a couple grand. So that was one thing we wanted to mitigate to make it more appealing for departments to cover costs on this one is, hey man, $500 covers meals and lodging. Now, granted, we're not staying at Embassy Suites or anything. We're staying in military lodging, but you know what? It's good. We're not there to party. We're there to train, you know, unlike some other conferences, but yeah. So all that's covered, man. And we, again, tried to make it as affordable as we could. So I think with that price tag, that'll make it a lot more appealing for departments to go ahead and approve that training for guys.
Awesome.
Hey, I want to jump in real quick, JC.
Yeah.
Let's catch up. So real quick. So Jeremy was just asking. So again, we kind of get some input from some of our listeners. But anyway, he was just asking, hey, have you seen a gun shy dog advance past the reaction? And yeah, I mean, here's the thing, Jeremy, right? You got to understand, some dogs have never been exposed to gunfire. So you've got to start somewhere. And typically, if you do it right, you can get them over the hurdles. They just need to understand what's going on. So completely done. And then just one other thing to add to JC that I didn't stick in kind of in my description too. So one of the things is whether it's my Warhog regular class or even for the canine ones, you know, we bring old t-shirts, and the beauty is now, especially from the dog side, I hope we have a little bit of a win that week, because now the dogs will actually see that target down there with that t-shirt that'll have a slight movement that will hopefully help kind of tune them in a little bit, like you're talking about with Mike putting in, you know, dealing with that dog and drive. Cause he really can't tell, you know, he just kind of knows, hey, there's something moving. Is that the guy or is that not the guy? So just adding that realism to it. So All right, buddy, yeah. I'll let you roll from here.
Yeah, and I agree with you, man. You can definitely, like, we both experienced it, man. You got those dogs that are just like, what the hell? And, you know, you try mm-hmm. to do a good job in your selection process. But, you know, like, that's just something that's not natural for those dogs. And yes, yeah. it can be overcome through good training. And again, Rick's class, Mike's class, both great ones to start with when it comes to getting that dog past that hurdle.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. So next is my company. It's a Direct Action Canine. And we kind of focus on a lot of realistic scenario-based training. So for us, I've got a good staff that's a good healthy mix of both military and law enforcement guys. All the guys are, you know, trainers from their departments. They're all SWAT handlers and stuff. So we've got a great amount of experience when it comes to our staff there. And what we've done is we went ahead and we looked at, we did kind of case studies on a lot of situations that real world situations that officers have been exposed to over the years, and basically tailored scenarios around those. And what we've done is we got rid of just those canned scenarios. And we made it as realistic, because so for us, I don't want it to be like, well, hey, man, you know, if I was doing this for real, I would have done it this way. Well, hey, that's how I want you to do it, man. Like, so mm-hmm. so we've thought of all the different ways that a guy could respond, that a dog could respond. And we basically mitigated everything and tailored the scenario to where, hey, man, you run it like you would do it for real. You know, because that's something we want to get you out of that training mindset. We want to get you into that realistic mindset of, hey, man, I want that combat mindset, not just, hey, I've got this tool. And man, I hate to say it, but a lot of canine officers are guilty of this. They get this dog and, man, it's an amazing tool that they can incorporate. But a lot of guys forget that they have to be a cop first, you know, and they really rely on the dog, and tactics go out the window, man. And, you know, that's unfortunately that can put guys into a really bad situation. So we try to show guys that, hey, man, although it's a great tool, it's not the tool for every sort of application. So you have to think about, like, hey, how do I properly, what techniques do I use for this situation that I'm encountering right now? And we do a lot of different things. Like, we throw in med play, we throw in, you know, gunfire, you know, all sorts of tactics. So we incorporate a lot of the different stuff, and basically that training methodology that we used at those higher echelons in the military, we're bringing that to the cop world, which unfortunately I don't think a lot of departments train that way. You know, mm-hmm. and so now we're giving them just a different way of training, you know, and hopefully they can take those skill sets back and better their training curriculum for their departments as well.
Yeah.
Next, we've got a kinetic performance dog food. Yeah, man.
No, go ahead, buddy.
That lad. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, all right, so we've got a kinetic dog food. They're coming in. They're one of our big sponsors for this event as well. But they're going to be teaching guys how to properly read dog food labels. All right, because nutrition, when it comes to a canine, it's just like an elite athlete. Man, that dog needs to have a proper nutrition as well. So unfortunately, there's so many different types of dog food out there, and a lot of guys just don't know, like, hey, man, is this a good dog food for me? Or is that one, you know, like, damn it, I don't know. So Kinetics is going to come in and they're going to teach guys, you know, it's not even a sales pitch. It's, hey, man, this is how you read that label to figure out what's great for your dog. You know, these are the nutrients that they need. These are the things that you need to steer clear of. And they're going to give a great nutrition class so handlers can go out and find that food for their dog that's going to get them performing at optimal levels. Now, go ahead, man.
No, I was just going to say, matter of fact, I was going to ask about the nutrition part and if there was anybody that was bringing out some things like food and that kind of thing for the handlers to take a look at, but you just answered my question.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, they, you know, they, kinetics is real good when it comes to, they'll give you a bag of dog food to try for free. And you know what, that, you know, every time you swap to a different food, it's going to mess with that dog's digestive system a little bit till he gets used to it. But man, you know, with a whole bag of food, you're going to get to see that, hey, they'll get past that. And then you'll really see the benefits of the food that they offer. All right. And again, I'm not trying to do a little sales pitch here, but you know, that is like, that's something that a lot of guys are like, oh man, I give my dog Benefol or whatever, you know, like, hey, that's not really what you know, like, might be great for a pet, but it's not great for a service animal that is, you know, a working dog that needs to be at that peak performance level. Yeah. You know, we've also got Donnie Meese, who's the head trainer out there at Cincinnati. He's going to be teaching tactical obedience, which is something that, you know, a lot of guys, they don't really focus on the tactical obedience. And you know, everybody's got their own way of moving tactically and how they want that dog to maneuver while, you know, at the same time. So Donnie's not going to sit there and tell you, hey, this is exactly how you do it. What he's going to do is show you the building blocks of how to get that dog to do the task that you want it to do. And that whole training methodology for all the stepping stones to get to that point. You know, cause there's things that, hey man, like that show dog stuff, that sport dog stuff with some of those obedience things, man, like, hey, that's not necessarily how I want my dog to move when I'm trying to move tactically. You know, like that dog might, because he's out ahead of me, he might end up, you know, giving up surprise, you know, on my part and put me in a bad situation, or because he's cutting me off. So if I start taking incoming fire, man, he is, you know, reduce the direction that I can react and try to seek cover. So, you know, that whole tactical obedience, it's not your typical sport dog obedience, you know? So that's something that I don't think a lot of guys work on either, but you know, Donnie's going to give a great class and teach guys how to teach this to their dogs and train them and then get them to the point that they need. So I'm really looking forward to Donnie giving that class as well. Then, last one we've got is, Revac USA. Revac is going to teach a lot of rope applications. So all the rope operations, you know, rappelling with your canine, and you know, this course isn't going to be for everybody, but it's absolutely, critical for SWAT guys, military guys, you know, those guys that do a lot of rural, mountain type operations, search and rescue dogs, you know, so that's a skill set that not a lot of people have. And is definitely, you know, Rick and I, we did all sorts of rope operations, you know, and, you know, whether it's, you know, it could be something like, damn, man, my dog ended up in a well and how the hell do I get it out of there? Well, yep. You know what, like Revac and his guys, they can teach you all the different equipment and applications that you need to know for utilizing, you know, for descent, ascent, whatever the case may be when it comes to you getting down as well as your canine. The other great thing is, one of our sponsors is Petzl. So they're going to be helping Revac out, you know, with some equipment and training as well. So yeah, man, that's, right now that's who we've got for our, instructor lineup, which you see, man, all of these guys are guys that have worked with the tier one organizations throughout the country. They've got a lot of experience, you know, that, man, you just don't get that in a whole lot of places. And again, when it comes to canine work, man, unfortunately, you don't know what you don't know, you know? So there's a lot of guys out there claiming that they're dog trainers and that they're the best thing out there. And of course they're going to badmouth everybody else, you know, so they can kind of bring more customers and keep those customers with them. Well, you know what, like, everyone that we've got coming in, man, they don't need that. They've trained with the best. They've got their reputation precedes them. So these are guys that, man, you're going to learn a lot from, and they're the real deal. They've taught all the elite units out there. And then, you know, we've got a lot of great sponsors. You know, like we talked about, we are a nonprofit, so we depend, the way that we make this affordable for those handlers is through corporate and private sponsors and their donations. Like we mentioned, Kinetic Dog Food, they're one of our big sponsors, you know, so they're helping us out quite a bit. We've also got FOP Lodge 69 from up there in Cincinnati. They've helped donate as well. We've got the Police Canine Association from Ohio, again, Petzl, Point Blank Enterprises, Glock, Sig Sauer, First Tactical, Spike's Canine Fund. Man, there's another of our Navy counterpart handlers that has gone ahead and started his own nonprofit. And man, Jimmy Hatch, unfortunately he lost a canine while he was deployed, and, you know, came back and started the Spike's Canine Fund. And now he does a lot of great work for officers out there by providing them vests, medical treatment, door poppers, you know, all those good things that, that handlers need. And again, because of budgetary restraints, they can't afford, you know, so Spike's Fund does a lot to help those officers out. We've also got Bulletproof Canine, Polaris. They're actually going to bring a few machines out and let guys go ahead and test those out. And you know what? They've got a big canine lineup that they've been working on. So they're going to bring that stuff out there as well. We've got Mystery Ranch, their backpacks, Bounce Image. They're another company that, man, they've got some good cameras that they want to bring out. And let guys try out. Cryptek, Magpul, Right in the Rain, Vortex, Trigicon, and man, the list of sponsors keeps growing. That's another thing. If you or your company wants to help sponsor this event, just go to our website, www.atk9.org, and you can see we've got different sponsor levels. Or if you're just a private citizen that wants to donate, you can go ahead and donate on the website as well. All these sponsors, man, they're helping in some way or another. But most of them, we're having a vendor day as part of the conference, and it allows these handlers to see all the different types of gear that's out there on the market right now that can potentially help them with some of their equipment gaps. But we're not just doing your typical vendor day, which is, you know, kind of like that mini SHOT Show where, hey, man, we've got all the vendors and they've got their table set up with all their products and they give a good table spiel. Yeah, that's part of it. We're absolutely doing that. But the other thing that's unique to our conference is, man, these guys, they're getting their products out to the training venues, to all the different courses, and they're trying to incorporate their stuff into the training scenarios. And what that's going to do is it's going to allow guys to get their hands on this equipment. And instead of just going back to their department and being like, you know what, hey, yeah, I got this really cool spiel. The stuff sounds kind of good. Maybe we should look into it. Well, no, man, they got their hands on this equipment. They got to run it through the ringer, and now they can go back with the education that they got from the vendors at the table, plus their hands-on experience, and go back with an educated assessment, and hands-on experience back to their departments and be able to justify, hey, look, this is something that we should really invest into, and this is why, you know, as opposed to, hey, man, it looks really cool on the brochure, you know. So that's one thing that, man, we're really looking forward to, and we really appreciate the sponsors' support in these regards. So yeah, some of them are helping out in through monetary donations. Others are helping out with equipment and being able to incorporate that equipment into our scenarios and stuff. Now we've got one of the couple of sponsors that we didn't mention but are looking at coming on. We got Ray Allen Manufacturing, who's a huge, you know, supplier when it comes to canine equipment, probably the nation's leader when it comes to supplying equipment for organizations across the country, as well as we've got Less Lethal Products, who's a huge distributor for all your different types of less lethal munitions when it comes to, you know, training bangers, pepper balls, you know, all your less lethal munitions. They're going to come down and showcase some of their products and let us incorporate it into the training as well. So that's something that, you know, we're really, again, man, we want to set ourselves apart from everybody else. And look, there's a lot of great conferences out there. You know, those lecture ones, hey, they're great conferences. You get a lot out of them. Unfortunately, they're not training venues. So you get this knowledge that you can't really apply once you get home. So we wanted to change that, you know, and like, hey, man, let's bring have an actual training conference for guys to go to and just go home. And like, once you're done with this, like you're actually bringing skill sets home that you can apply to your training, and you've got the knowledge and the takeaway to go ahead and do that, as opposed to, man, that's a really cool idea. We need to bring that student out to our place, you know, for however much money, and maybe we can do it then. No, man, you're going to leave here with a lot of knowledge. And again, these are all world-renowned trainers that are going to impart a lot of experience on you that are going to make you better at what you do. They're going to make your dog better and hopefully give you the skill sets that you need to train more realistically, to bring you home safely, and to bring your dog home safely. And in the end, that's what matters, man. You know, a lot of handlers, you're running a tool that if used incorrectly can cause a lot of liability for that department. So we want to be able to show you like, hey, work on your decision-making skills, work on that dog's performance, mm-hmm. your performance, just the whole well-rounded package that everything that dog handling entails. So that's what we're hoping to do with this conference. And, you know, hopefully from here, because it is a training conference, you know, like, hey man, this one's going to be in Indiana. Next one, we're not sure where it's going to be, but what we're trying to do is get them to where we host them in different regions within the country. So that way guys from every part of the country will have an opportunity to attend these venues. And like I said, you know, if you want more information on the conference, you can go to www.atk9.org and you can see about our organization. You can also see about the conference. If you're interested in sponsoring, there's a sponsor page there as well that shows you the different levels of sponsorship. And again, if you're a private donor and you want to donate, there's a spot for that as well where you can donate to the cause. And yeah, man, we're really looking forward to this, and we think it's going to be a great conference for all these handlers across the country, man.
Yeah. So real quick, I just want to hit in just a couple things. So Jeremy was asking, and this kind of plays right in. So he was, do the good dogs gain a quote unquote tactical situation awareness for situations like that where the handler could be hindered by the dog being in the way, or is it purely a trained reaction? So really, Jeremy, here's the deal, and kind of for the viewers, listeners out there, tactical obedience, you know, or situational awareness, it's really driven off the handler is the eye of the hurricane for that dog. So he's kind of, he should be able to see, hey, what's going on. But you see some people out there that teach, in my opinion, and I know JC will get on this, and I'm not trying to get on a soapbox or stir the pot, so just work with me here, JC. But if you're one of these cats out there that you are running a dog and you think sticking that dog between your legs is a viable tactical technique, I'm going to tell you, you are very wrong. I had to put it out there, and I'm not sure, because again, people have seen things that set you up for failure. So anyway, getting back to the point, you can train these dogs exactly. And these dogs will, if you put the time in, they will more or less turn to autopilot and they know exactly what to do, but it requires reps. And nothing against my LE guys. The problem is, from the canine handler side, my opinion, they do not steal every opportunity they can to train. So here's the deal. We're just hanging out. Nothing's going on. Can I not take 5 minutes work obedience with my dog? Sure, I can. Can I not lay a quick track and have him work a track if he's, if tracking is one of his skill sets? 100% I can. If he's, a sniffer dog, can I not put something out there and do a detection problem? I most certainly can. Am I smoking that dog so he doesn't, he's so tired he can't work again? Nope. I'm just putting little short iterations in there. And that's the biggest thing I see that guys don't capitalize that. So yes, Jeremy, that does not work. The dog between the legs technique. It's absolutely catastrophic. The other point I got to inject, JC, is the revac guys. It is the revac guys, right? Because guys are going to go, man, I'm not doing nothing with ropes and dogs. And you want me to rappel off of a Coke can as an anchor point? You've lost your mind. I'm going to tell you, these guys are the best in the business. I would tell you, if it were me, I would jump on board. Not only from, the rappelling side of it or descending, but the ascending as well. And like you were saying, pal, God forbid your dog should go in a ditch somewhere or you need to do something that you got to rig a pulley type system. It plays over to not only to the canine side, but potentially to another officer side, a citizen, whatever. Yeah. But the revac guys, they are masters at their craft when it comes to rope work. And it's one of those, I don't know what they're planning. JC, did they tell you what they're kind of planning to do? Are they going to bring out any exo kits or stuff like that?
With a one-day course, man, they're primarily going to focus on their descent stuff. Just the rappelling and stuff. But they're going to bring out their equipment. Like we said, Petzl is one of our sponsors. They're going to bring a lot of the equipment out. So if you've got your own harnesses and stuff like that, absolutely bring them. But a lot of guys, they're probably not going to have that. And we don't expect you to go out and buy that stuff. So, Brett and Petzl will be able to provide a lot of that equipment so you can still conduct the training, even if you don't have that equipment for yourself.
Yeah.
So don't let lack of equipment deter you from signing up for that course. If this is something that you feel is going to benefit you in the environment that you work in, by all means, take the course. And once you have that experience, you'll know exactly what equipment you need to purchase to go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely, man. Don't let that stop you. But yeah, you're right, Rick, man. Those guys are masters at what they do, man.
Yeah. And I can't talk enough about Brett, right? Because he's not one that's going to sell you a bunch of garbage. I'm going to tell you this from personal experience. Do you need a harness? Man, you can go off of your rigger's belt, providing you got a proper one. Granted, your britches may be up in your butt crack a little bit, but trust me, you can make a descent safely with that. How do I know? I know this guy. But the exo kit, and that was part that they developed, man. That exo kit is an absolute phenomenal piece of kit. And they will show you, and I don't know if he's looking at how much he's getting into stuff, but literally we have descended off of old Coke cans, spray cans, just things are going, this is my anchor point.
And chem lights.
I'm telling you guys, chem lights, a rolled up newspaper, crazy stuff, man. Ring.
Yeah.
And you're going, I'm dying. No, man, trust me. These guys know exactly what they're doing, but that would be one of those I highly recommend if you've got any potential of doing anything rope work with a dog, man, absolutely phenomenal. So I got to give those guys, cause I just love those dudes, man. And I've done stuff, with the dog, without the dog, and just, they are just a good, amazing people on a skill set that not a whole bunch of people possess in this country, in my opinion. So enough of me and the revac. Soap wagon. So,
well, it sounds like you got a great lineup, JC, and it looks like it's going to be a great training event. We're going to put all the information, your website, in the show notes. That way people can click right on it. And hey, guys, if you're able to help, especially if you're a small or even a medium-sized business owner, man, go ahead and jump on there and see if you can't support JC and what they're doing. Hey, guys, if you're listening to Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Audible, or music, go ahead and interact with the page, comment, give us a rating, leave a message in there, even if it's just an emoji or one word. Help boost and smash this algorithm that we're dealing with. You know what, JC, it's going to be great having you up here in this area, and really looking forward to it. And I'm sure with the lineup that you put together and everything that you're doing, that you're going to have a great turnout. And hopefully you'll come back on the show. Rick and I will push this out again. We'll have another, give us an update the closer we get. So if you don't mind coming back, brother.
Oh, absolutely, man. But I got to say, man, one thing we didn't mention is we're kind of limiting the amount of slots for this venue.
Okay.
And the reason is, man, this isn't about making money. This is about giving guys quality training. So in place of just, hey, man, let's see how many attendees we can pack in here. No, man, that's not what we're doing. So we've gone ahead, we've gotten with every instructor, and we figured out, all right, man, hey, how many guys can you train that they can walk away with the knowledge that you expect them to have? So each of those guys gave us their numbers, and we came up with, hey, man, based off of that, 200 attendees is all we can handle. So, you know, don't sit around and wait, because I know how cops and just handlers are. They wait till the last minute. One, mm-hmm. the price is going to go up at the end of July, you know, so mm-hmm. so it's more advantageous for you to purchase the registration now. But two, if you wait till the last minute, there's not going to be any slots left, man. People are already starting to sign up. And so you don't want to miss out, man, especially if you're up in that area. Go ahead and sign up now. Don't wait, because you might miss out on this opportunity altogether.
Yeah, man.
Because JC, real quick, correct me if I'm wrong. You will try to accommodate the handler's requests, but they're doing it via a number system, kind of on their preference of what training they're looking for, correct?
Yeah. So with all these, you'll see when you go to the website, you'll see all the different, all the instructors and the courses that they're offering. Now, when you go to register, obviously this is a week long venue. All right. So it's four training days. And one of those days is the vendor day. So each day you'll pick a different instructor that you want to train with. Now, those courses are first come, first serve. So when you sign up, you'll pick your primary four courses that you want to attend. And you'll also pick a secondary four courses that, in the event that those classes are already full, we can try to accommodate your second selection. But bottom line is, hey, the later you sign up, and if those courses are full, you're going to kind of get what you get, you know, and that's the reality of it. We've only got so many slots per day per instructor. So again, if you wait to the last minute to go ahead and sign up, if you get a slot at all, you might not get the courses that you want, man. And unfortunately, that's just the reality of it. Cause it's not a lecture type training event. It's all training. Mm-hmm. So, if you want to just sit around and not get any training time in, well, hey, you know, then that'd be perfect. But that's not what we're doing here, man. Now, we also we do have just like auditor slots. So guys that just want to observe, that they're not coming to train, they're not bringing their dog. So if you just want to come observe, yeah, we've got slots for you, because you know what? That's not taken away from the guys that are training, but you can still get a little knowledge and bring that back to your organization. Just unfortunately, you're not going to be able to work your dog on it. So if you want to just observe, you've got that opportunity as well.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be fantastic, brother. It really does. Really does.
Sounds like a venue for a on the range podcast on location.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man. What a blast that would be. It's going to be great. It's going to be great to have you up here in this area.
Yeah, so, come on out.
Carve out a time or a day. Rick and I will show you around town. And, you know, we got some places we can go down here.
Yeah, sounds good, man. We're all about it.
All right, buddy.
But yeah, right, thanks, Rick, for having me, guys. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, man. You definitely have to come back. Absolutely, brother. Appreciate all your service and all you're giving back, JC. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, same to you guys.
All right, buddy. Hey, hang on here for a second, JC. We're going to sign off and we'll catch back up to you here. So don't hang up yet. All right, brother? All right, buddy. Another one in the books. Great show. A lot of good information. We'll have a lot of this stuff in the show notes, buddy. Appreciate you being here with me tonight, Rick. That was a lot of
fun. Absolutely. Great show, pal.
Yeah, man. Jeff, Jeremy, and some of the other guys. I know I'm missing some guys. Thanks for joining the show. And I tell you what, Rick, let's do this again. I know you got a big week this week, range week, but we'll put some stuff out there. And again, guys, if you're on Facebook or YouTube, interact, hit the subscribe, like, and leave us a comment. All right, brother, let's do this again real soon, pal. Great job by JC and what he's doing. All right, buddy.
Yeah,
have a good day.
All right, take care.
See you, everybody. You too.